bless you. We're going to be reading for 1 Peter 1, 17 through 21 today. Now, I've entitled this lesson, We Can Be Strangers to Emptiness. We don't have to be living a way that's empty. We have some folks visiting with us from different parts of the country, and I hope you've all taken the time to meet them. We also have a couple that's from, was it Minnesota? All right, so they're not only visiting from that area, but they are from Christ the King Lutheran Church, so I hope you'll make them very welcome if you haven't done so already. The churches are kind of spread out in the Northeast and the Midwest, so we want to give folks the encouragement we can. Do you remember a few years ago, well, it's been a number of years ago now, when you couldn't hardly get gas, cars were lined up everywhere, and they've done that more than once, but it was really bad quite a number of years ago. And even more recently, we've seen costs that, you know, hit the $3 range. Back then, it hit the $4 range, at least in many parts of the U.S. And a lot of people probably reached the point they were thinking, well, I'm not going to fill up my car. I'm just going to figure out how much gas I need this week and buy that many gallons, because it was very expensive for them. Well, these kind of things go on, and sometimes we wonder, even in the more modern times and in recent times, you know, some countries have deliberately kept the price down for their own people. Like in Venezuela, fairly recently, they were selling for a penny a liter, about 5 cents a gallon. But they jacked that up many thousands of percent recently. They went to 60 cents a liter, which would be quite a bit higher than what we're paying here probably. So these things go on in the world. We wonder what we should do. And there are many troubling things that we have to deal with in this world. But we ought to not just be concerned about that. We ought to be much more concerned about people's lives eternally, shouldn't we? Where they're going to spend eternity. These are the important questions. Our neighbors, our friends, people we don't even know. We should be concerned, and I know we are, but we need to continually keep it in mind. So many people, they wake up each morning, you know, they jump into some clothes, they grab a quick breakfast, if at all, they run off to work, they get home, they spend a little time with their kids, and they're gone again. On and on it goes. Life seems to have no real meaning, right? But we have the answers, don't we? This book, God has provided the answers. We don't have to live an empty life in this world. And those answers will provide us for eternity. We were studying in Bible class this morning. Paul apparently had been told by God he was about to die. And he said, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. And this crown's available for everybody if they'll take it, if they will accept Jesus, repent of their sins, confess him as Lord, be baptized into him, and walk that faithful life. It's available for all. This is what we want people to know, right? We want them to know the Word of God and the hope that we have. Not too awful long ago, well, it's a few years now, and we see these kind of things on a fairly regular basis. There was an elder who was talking to a preacher, and he was telling him of his deep desire to be closer to the Lord. And a few months later, he ran off with another woman much younger than him. And when the preacher met to talk to him about it, he said, I feel so alive. Well, you're going to hell under those conditions, aren't you? Alive for what? If we're going to live, it has to be according to the Word of God, in God's way. Not in opposition to the teachings of the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Peter 1, 17 through 21. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each man's work, and those who are visiting, I'm reading from the New King James, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here, that's on this earth, in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. There's where our faith and hope comes in. There's where our promises come in, not in the vain things of this world, which so many are striving for, right? They're striving for newer cars and better homes and newer homes, assuming they can even afford to buy one. They want a better one, right? They want better clothes. Maybe they want a better mate. Maybe they want all kinds of things, right? But we have the real hope, and that's in Jesus, and we don't want to forget that. The emptiness we often see out there, people sometimes don't even realize they're empty. They spend their lives around those who can in some way make them happy, or drink things that they think make them happy, or whatever it might be. They haven't found the real hope, have they? It is available. And Peter pictures here a portrait of strangers. In the portrait of strangers, he pictures them as living in emptiness, but now they're in Christ and they have peace and they have hope. That's what we have, amen? That's what we have and what God wants for us to have. Number one, the people in the world are running on empty, whether they realize it or not. Like that fuel tank that we started with, running on empty. You know, I've even seen this in some of my kids. They'll drive till they're almost on empty before they put any gas in their cars. They don't want to lose that money, right? Do they use any more gas if they kept it almost full? But so many people are not just driving on empty physically, but they're driving on empty spiritually speaking. They don't have the hope of Christ. In 1 Peter 1:18, he says, "From your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers." Now, he's speaking in the context of Jewish Christians, people who had the Old Testament background. But the principle is the same, is it not? People pass on from generation to generation the things they believe in and the things they either hope for or don't have, but they wish they had. We pass on these traditions down through time. We've all probably felt that cold, empty clamminess without Christ. We've all seen its shadow, but it has no substance. We've experienced this weariness of soul. You, like me, probably have family members who are not members of the church, who go nowhere. Yet they know about us. They know we are dedicated to Christ. They even maybe admire it, but they're not committed to it. And therefore, they have no hope under those conditions, right? They're without Christ. They're living in a world that they were designed to live in to grow for God, and they haven't been doing it. We want that for them, don't we? We seek it for them. We've all experienced that weariness of soul before we came to Christ. I remember when, as a teenager, I attended church, but it took me a long time to take that step to be baptized into Christ and to walk that life. I was going to church, but afraid to step forward. Why? I don't know. But people in the world are like that even more so. They're not even attending church, except maybe Christmas, Easter, if they do then. We've been confused by promises the world lays out. And again, it's like a car. The gasoline or the lack of it. Empty. We can be on empty. How quickly does that signal go all the way down? We have to fill it up again, right? Well, spiritually, don't we have to be filled up again? Isn't that why we have our worship services? So we can be filled, recommitted and recommissioned. It's part of what we do for the cause of Christ. You know, with gasoline, we We sometimes seek, if it's not too high, to get a, you know, a stronger mixture, or maybe we get a certain additive. You ever added an additive to your gas tank, trying to save money and yet get more outcome? Probably when it was so high, we've all done things like that. The Bible tells us this way of life is what was handed down by the fathers. True, he was talking in the context of Jews, but it's still true in our world today. People pass on their own concepts and their own way of life, and if it doesn't include God, it's a failing way, isn't it? Realistically, we're talking about the life our parents gave us. Not all of us grew up in Christian homes. Not every one of us sat at a table where prayers were made. Not all of us had to, remember when everybody had those big Bibles? Not all of us have seen Dad or Mom pull that big Bible down and read it. You know, my grandfather on my mother's side, I didn't hardly remember my other one. He died too long ago. But my grandfather on my mother's side, he was a man of the world most of his life. He loved his whiskey most of his life. But one thing, as he got older, I saw him do. That was about the time I came along. Every evening, with the coal oil light, he would open up that Bible and he would read it. His last years were committed to the Lord. How much better it would have been if his whole life had been committed to the Lord? How much better would it have been if my mom and all her brothers and sisters had been raised with him reading the Bible, praying at the table, instead of the ways of the world? We've all experienced some of that, haven't we? Not all of us grew up in Christian homes. You know, sometimes there are people that grow up in, quote, Christian homes, but they're name only. They don't live it. They live just like the world. They do the things of the world. They talk like the world. They act like the world. They're still in the world, aren't they? Some of us grew up in homes like that. But the Bible, this is what is to be enthroned in our hearts, right? This is what we are to learn and live by. So many people, they go to work, they work all day, they come home, they spend just a little bit of time with their kids, they're off to sleep, maybe with somebody they are thinking about trading in for another one. That's the way the world, right? They live an empty life. They may not think it is, but it's without Christ. The Bible calls that an empty life. In the book of Ephesians, Paul pictures this in a tragic way as a life of emptiness, a life running on empty. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, we're going to read what Paul said. In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts or desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even just as the others, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the others. Again, I read verse 3 twice. Before Christ, isn't that where we were? We were without these hopes. We were seeking to discover a purpose, a reason. People are constantly trying, and in one sense it's normal, trying to extend their lives, right? We make a big deal when people live to be over 100, right? Or even get to that close to that 100 mark, we make a big deal, and maybe we should. But how about eternity? Far more important, amen, than the things of this world. We seek our quest and gratification of the desires of our minds and our bodies. That's the way the world is. We follow the desires of the heart, not necessarily the desires of God. And we're not alone in this. Paul says, like the rest, this is what the world does. This is what they're seeking. People desperately want and need something. And, you know, we talk about they reach a crisis in many ways. It may be, as we call it, a midlife crisis. It may be many things. But people reach a crisis point probably because they see these things bring not what they desire. Maybe they finally look at what they really desire and they're not getting it. Well, what they miss is what they really need is God. This is the fulfillment of those desires. It's not necessarily a better job or even spending more time with their children, though those are important things, and our spouses. People seek all kinds of things in this world. Somewhere there has to be something to fulfill those things. But the world seeks it where? Well, if they get kind of spiritual, they may seek it in meditation or some other similarity, or they may seek it in counseling. They're seeking something, are they not? They didn't find it at home growing up. They didn't find it as an adult. They're seeking. They may seek it in medication or man-made medications, right? Trying to cover up those things. You even have people who seek it in crystals. Something has to fill that void. How much better to learn the Word of God? And that's where we can come in, folks. When the opportunity is there, we're to take advantage of it. You know, when people get really sick, that may be an opportunity to teach them. Because many times then they ponder death. They ponder old age. They ponder what comes after. But many never think about those things till it happens to them. The death comes in the family or physical problems come in their lives. Only then do they take a serious look. In the Old Testament, we have a journal. You could call it that. It's a diary. Well, you may say, no, it's the Word of God. Yes, it's that too. It's written by an old man who tried everything in the world. And then as an inspired preacher of God or teacher of God, he wrote us a book. It's called Ecclesiastes. He felt the same things we did, and he tried to fill those things in human ways instead of always, you know, he lost his way for a while. In other words, as a young man, God was with him. God blessed him, made him the king of Israel, gave him more wisdom than anyone on earth. Wouldn't that be great to have something like that? But somewhere along the way, he lost his way. So he began to try to find it, find pleasure in this world. He saw it by buying real estate. He was, in our terms, a billionaire. So he bought all this land, all these cattle, and all these things. It didn't work. He didn't gain anything great from that. He tried alcohol. He probably suffered the same consequences people suffer today when they drink too much. He tried women. Well, he had 300 wives, and as one kid said, 700 cucumber vines. Well, you knew he meant concubines, but, well, that's a large number, right? And, of course, vines do spread. He didn't find it in these things of the world. His conclusion, when it was all over, he says, all is emptiness, or all is vain. All is vanity, all is vanity, all is vanity. Except for one thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. Nothing in this world brings true everlasting hope or anything of that sort. It's only in God that we can find those things. It is in God that many people have given their lives for the Son of God. They died horrible deaths, but they died knowing they had served God faithfully. Isn't that better than gaining things in this world and dying in a devil's and going to a devil's place? In Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those three words there, he made us alive. That's the important thing, right? He made us alive. A life without him is empty, though people may not realize it at first. Somewhere along the way, like Solomon, who lost his way, who actually had it in the early days, he had to learn it again. It is in God that these things come. Secondly, we need to be running on overflow. In 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And we read that passage earlier. You know, in some parts of the country, they got Costco. In this area, we have things like a Sam's Club. Well, let's say you had a Sam's Club card that said, free gas for life. Or a Costco card or something like that. Well, you might ought to be afraid. Somebody might take you out, you know. Free gas for life. How about eternal life with God? Isn't that better than the things that we might get in this world? Today we get this $700 a week for life. Well, it's one in millions that's going to get that, right? The odds are very slim. Somebody actually finally gets it, though, but the point is, those kind of things do not bring real happiness, do they? They do not bring the hope of eternal life. People are searching for answers. In this world, they may, you know, if they're looking for health, they may turn to people like Alec Trebek and his books, or some doctor in his books. But how about, how much better to turn to the Son of God for the real hope for eternal life? You know, we might wrestle with certain things in the Bible, like do not do this, do not do that. That was prominent in the Ten Commandments, right? Part most of it. But we ought to be thankful for verses like that, because like a stop sign at a busy intersection, they protect us, don't they? Those are good things. Like a warning on a highway. You know, sometimes there are wrecks and people are just virtually stopped on the highway, sometimes stopped for hours. We want a warning for that, don't we? Ahead of time. Like a label on medication to protect our children and even ourselves. Like a speed limit sign, those do nots. Or like stunts on TV where they say, now don't try this at home. They're for our protection, aren't they? He says it makes us alive in Christ. This is what the Word of God can do for us. We may regret, and certainly we should and do, when people experience bad things, right? But we can't stop the things of this world that happen, sometimes by accident, and other times because of the cruelty of people who follow Satan and his ways. But we need to remember we've been redeemed. What did he say? Knowing that you were redeemed. Well, he actually words it in the negative. You were not redeemed by corruptible things. And we could paraphrase it into each one. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold and stuff like that. Even metals that are basically... The don't rust still eventually rust, don't they? But we have something far better. When we think of others, we might even tear up sometimes thinking what's going to happen to them. Number two, we have the reality of the resurrection. What do you say? Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave what? Gave him glory, so that you might have faith and hope in God. That's what we have, faith and hope in God. Life goes on, and we have to struggle with the things of this world. But when we think about Jesus, we have the answer, don't we? So we ought to want to spread it, as we said at the beginning of this worship. We need to spread it to those that we can affect. We were made alive in Christ. What did Paul say? That you were baptized into Christ? Now that's assuming you're a believer and repentant and want to take him as your Lord. Then he said you're baptized into Christ. I know there's some saying that's unimportant, but Paul said you're baptized into Christ. Why would we want to try to avoid what Jesus himself said to John the Baptist? We must do this to fulfill all righteousness, and John baptized even our own Lord. Why do people want to avoid that? I don't know. And thirdly, we have faith and hope. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now as we close, I want to share another word from Solomon, the one who wrote that diary or whatever you want to call it, that inspired book of Ecclesiastes after he had turned back to God, apparently. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Everything man has done or will do will be called before God. He will have to answer. And wickedness, its effect will have its effect for eternity, won't it? I hope you are a Christian. If not, then you need to accept the gospel of Christ, not just in faith and repentance, but confess him as Lord and be baptized into him, as Paul said. Or if you're subject to our invitation in some other way, won't you come as we stand and sing?